Now, I want you to notice this right here. We listed these things for your benefit. I'm not as sharp in mind as I'd like to be. I'll just be honest with you. I can't remember the time when I could just go right down the list and tell you all the lineage all the way from, well, from Adam or Abraham right on down to Jesus. Just call them out by name, by heart, just right on down. And, of course, we intend to bring the lineage to you by the help of the Lord, but we won't do that tonight. I wanted to bring this to you. And I want everyone to listen, if you will. I don't like to say something like I did a while ago at the first of the service, but I get so tired of people coming in with their spirits, you know, like they are, I just want them to know how I feel about it. If the Lord tells me to do something, I'm going to do it, or you'll break my neck, or I'll break my neck one trying to do it. So you might as well just come on with me or just leave me alone. When the Lord told Moses something, he done it. And he done it his way because the Lord told him to do it that way. His way was the Lord's way when he submitted to the Lord. Now, I tell you what I want to do here. If you'll listen real good now, I'm going to call the name of these. I got them backwards. I wrote them right backwards. Who was it? Brother Bruce told me he'd done things backwards. Is that right? Somebody told me he'd done things. Oh, okay. Well, this ought to suit you real good because I'm working from back to front tonight. I don't know how I done this, but I done it. Okay, now I'm going to ask Brother Taylor, if he will, start over here on the end. And I'm going to let him just lay the ruler under these. One at a time, and I'm going to pronounce them to the best of my ability and the way I understand them. And as we do, well, you can judge from that yourself as to what you think. And he'll just drop it down as we call the name of it. Now, remember, first of all, folks, they were in Egypt. When they got ready to come out, they were in Egypt. This is the journey of the children of Israel. And so far, I have related to you strictly by memory and understanding of just how the Lord gave it to me in the Bible. And it is related to you right, according to the way the Bible gives it. But now this is a listing of those that was not enumerated in numerical order as it came down through the Bible. And this is the whole thing. Now you've got it the other way, up onto, well, we'll just about have it up to Mount Horeb. But anyway, we'll give it to you just exactly, the whole journey here. Now, this consists of 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. This is 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. All right, we're going to go down the list here. Take this, Brother Taylor, again, if you will. All right, now, if you've got your Bibles, let's go down the line here with them. Remember now, they were in Egypt. And they took their journey out of Egypt. After being down there for 40 years, remember now, the Lord said, Abraham, and the fourth generation I'll bring them to the land of Canaan. And he brought them out of the land of Egypt here, and he said, when the iniquity of the Amorites is full, I'll bring them out with great substance. All right, now, let's notice this right here, children of God. He says here, now, that we got, first of all, they left on the 14th day, the selfsame night, and they left from Ramesses. I call these as I can, and you try to understand them, from Ramesses. All right? And then after they left Ramesses, they pitched in Succoth. And then they left from there, and they pitched in Etham. And then they left from there, and they went to Pi-Hahiroth. Now, this is a place just on this side of the Red Sea. It's the same. Etham is really the edge of the wilderness. But Pi-Hahiroth is just this side of the Red Sea. This is for the crossover. And now then, they go across the Red Sea here. And then they leave Pi-Hahiroth. And they go into the wilderness for about 3 days' journey. Then they come to a place that's called... We got one place out of line up there, haven't we, brother? Yeah, in other words, they come to Pi-Hahiroth, and then they come to Etham, Brother Taylor. That's the way it is. I want to get this thing here. Really, Etham is the wilderness is what it is. The reason we're getting this out of kilt here. Etham is the wilderness and Pi-Hahiroth is the place. I tried to keep that as straight as I could. All right. Now, you got it straight in the other books, though. But anyway, then we got a place here called Etham. Succoth, Pi-Hahiroth, Ramesses, Etham, which is, of course, the wilderness. And they removed, now, remember, they left the wilderness of Etham. The wilderness of Etham, if you want to put that down, they left the wilderness of Etham. They journeyed in this wilderness for 3 days first, and they pitched in Marah. Marah. Now, this is where the waters was made bitter. We've been bringing these things out. Bitter waters, and the Lord gave him a tree to, you know, to put down there in it. Marah. And then they moved from Marah now, and they came to Elam. How many of you remember what was in Elam? We brought it out, 12 wells and 70 palm trees, remember? All right. And then after this, they went down and they they encamped by the Red Sea. Now they pitched in, they encamped by the Red Sea. Try to keep this straight if I can. And then they left the Red Sea and went into the wilderness of Sin. They encamped in Dophka. And then they left from there and they went to a place called Alush. And then they left from there and went to Rephidim. You know, that's where they chided with Moses about the water. And then they left Rephidim and they went to the wilderness of Sinai. They left there and they went to Kibroth Hataava. Kibroth Hataava. That's the best I know how to pronounce it. Kibroth Hataava. All right, when they left Kibroth Hataava, then they went to Hazeroth. And from there, they went into a place called Rithmah. And then they left Rithmah, and they went to a place called Rimmon Perez. And then they left Rimmon Perez, and they pitched in a place called Libna. And then they went to a place called Rissa. And then they pitched in a place called Kehelatha. And then in the Mount of Shaphar. Then they went to Herada. And then to Makheloth. A place called Makheloth. And then to Teah. A place called Teah. And then to Terah. And then to Mishkah. And then to Hashmona. A place called Hashmona. And then at Moseroth. Now, I wonder if this wasn't where Moses got wroth and he just put them together here and called it Moseroth. But Moseroth, and then from here to Ben-Ajaakon. Then to Horahe-Gidga. A place called Horahe-Gidga. And then into Jobatha, and then into Ebrona, and then to Ezion Gaber, and Then they went to the wilderness of Zin, Zin, wilderness of Zin, which is Kadesh. Kadesh in the wilderness of, up there in the Etham wilderness. And then they pitched in the mount. Now, this Mount Hor, we want to... No, that's the last thing that will come to Mount Hor. No. No, we've got at the Mount Hor, what's the next one? Zalmona. Is that the next one? Zalmona. All right, Zalmona. We got Zalmona. And then they went to Punon. And then went to Oboth. Then to Jabarum. That's a little hard to pronounce there, but that I is pronounced silent, so I can see. That's Jabarum. Jabarum. And now remember, that's in the borders of Moab. Now we missed one I wanted to point out. Well, Mount Hor is in the borders of Edom here. I'd like to list over kind of two, some I want to try to bring out. All right, Oboth and Jabarum, and then Dibon Gad. Then Almon Diphlethium. And then in the mountain of Abiram. That's over near what they call Nebo. Abiram. All right, then after this, they pitched in the plains of Jordan. I think I got it wrote down on the board. Beth Jeshmoth. All right, that's in the plains also of Moab. Scattered across there to Abel Shittim. In other words, it was scattered slap across there. By the time he got there, there was quite a people. All right, now. Okay. All right, now then. See, I got it here to make sure they get that right. Let's see. That's Abel Shittim. That's right. All right, now, that was wonderful the way you paid attention there now, and I feel a real good spirit now. I feel a little, you know, things a little grieved, because that's always caused people to get a little bit grieved. They get a little bit afraid, and I don't blame them. But anyway, now, if you notice here, we'll have to have Brother Taylor to erase these because we ain't got no more board to work with. That's the reason I wanted you to try to get them down here if you could. Is there anybody that hadn't got them down yet, Brother? Okay, let's just give them just a few minutes here if we can. And in the meantime, I'll be pointing out a few things here. Now, I can go ahead and teach while y'all are doing this. You can go right along and you can get it down. We'll go ahead and teach. All right, now, if you notice now, folks, we had come all the way up to, we erased everything, and this is lesson 11. We had come all the way up to the wilderness of Zin, which was Kadesh. Now, if you notice, that's right along here. These others, I went ahead and give them to you, but this is the journey on to the plains, because we'll be dealing with that tonight, but I wanted to be sure you got it. No, just leave them alone for right now. All right, now, but this is the complete journey till they get to the River Jordan. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and I thought maybe we'd give this to you, and maybe we can give a little later, we can give to you the borders wherein the Canaan land was as to what they inhabited, so you can make you just a little map of it. It won't be hard, and it kind of give you a few things there to work on. All right, now, kind of like a handbook, you know, a minister's handbook. But now we find that we've come up to the wilderness. Now, something really takes place here, if you'll notice. We come up to the wilderness of Sin, Zin, which is, of course, Kadesh. All right, now, in the wilderness of Sin, here, of course, you know the people are always tempting God, always tempting Him. Now, this place is called Meribah. The other place was called Merah, about the waters over there, and now here we are at a place called Meribah. Now, you've heard of where the Lord smote Moses because of his disobedience, and it is said that God told him to speak to the rock, which God did, and he smote the rock, which he did. But there's nothing said about God cutting him off because of that. But nevertheless, he did not, the Bible said he did not sanctify God in the eyes of the people, is why God cut him off. Now, this happens right over here at the wilderness of Zin. Right over here in the wilderness of Sin. And if you'll notice now, here the people chided with Moses, and again that same old thing come up again about Moses, why have you brought us out here in the wilderness to let us die? They're still finding fault. There's been multiplied thousands of them destroyed. Last night we told how that 14,000 was destroyed at one time. And then we pointed out how that over here 3,000 was destroyed at one time. And then there's two or three places where they were destroyed, and there's no account of how many was destroyed. Well, we find out over here just a little later, 24,000 more gets destroyed because of rebellion. It just looked like that they just rebelled in spite of all that God could do to them. It was always one or two among them that always caused the trouble, and it really caused heartaches to the children of Israel. The Lord said, destroy them all. If you spare any of them, they will be pricks in your side. Well, they spared some of them. They really got to be pricks in their side. They really caused trouble in the camp. But anyway, now I want you to notice something. Up here at the wilderness of Zin, how many of you remember when Miriam come against Aaron or Moses? Remember, it's just been back here a little ways now that she come against him there, that we talked about it last night. So we come here to the wilderness of Zin, and remember, God smote her with leprosy, made her stay outside the camp for 7 days, brought her before the camp and said, I'll show you who I'll speak to and who I won't speak to. And Moses had to do like the Job did for his miserable comforters back there, had to pray to keep the wrath of God from falling on her and Aaron. And the Lord made the statement, said, now if her dad had a spit in her face, or her father, that she would have been unclean at least 7 days. Now, if spitting in her face by a father would make her unclean for 7 days, how much more she to be unclean 7 days if God finds fault with her? And so he put her outside the camp for 7 days. She wandered around out there day and night, just anyway with the, it'd be like the beatniks and the hippies up today, wandering around, except these were lepers. This is a spiritual sin that's got the beatniks, and this was a type of it. And she was out there with the spiritual, with the natural, in that day, wandering around, a leper. And the Lord brought Miriam in by the prayers of Moses. And then when Miriam come in, the Lord still didn't forget that thing. Up here at the wilderness of Zin, he finally let her die right here. The Bible said she died right here. He didn't mess with her any longer. He let her die. All right, Aaron, if you'll notice, up here at the wilderness of Sin, now watch what the Lord does to Aaron. He really got upset at Aaron, too. All right, now then, if you'll notice, we come on over here to the wilderness of Sin, and here they chide with Moses, and Moses and Aaron goes up to the rock. The Lord said, speak to the rock and sanctify me in the eyes of Israel. And Aaron and Moses gets up there, and Moses is already upset. He'd done tempted the Lord 10 times back out there. And now, I don't know how many times, but now. And here, up here, Moses finally said to him, said, you rebels, well, I have to go get you water out of the rock. And so then, he smote the rock twice. He had the rod of Aaron. Now, they had chided. We We come last night with telling how that they had chided, the people had chided and been destroyed. Then Korah and Dathan and Byron, they came up and they chided. The earth opened and swallowed him up. And then we come on along and showed how the priests, even they come up, the Levites, and they chided. And God destroyed 250 of them just like that with fire. And now, see, it's been a continual thing. And finally, the elders of Israel here, they seemed to be in question. And so the Lord called them up and he told them, he said, I tell you what I want you to do. He said, I want you to bring me 12 rods. Take and put your name on the rod. Each one of you put your name on your rod and put Aaron's rod in the midst of it. And then I want the rods taken into the tabernacle. I want the rods laid before the Ark of the Covenant. And then when they're laid before the Ark of the Covenant, I want you to go back and get them the next day. So then here he goes in, he gets them, he puts them in. We don't have the Ark up here tonight, the tabernacle, but you can draw it there if you will. But he puts them in the presence of the testimony that was brought down from the mountain. And the Bible said the next morning when they returned that Aaron's rod had budded. God said, the man that I choose, his rod will bud. And it budded and brought forth almonds on it. And they brought it out. They brought the other 12 rods out to the children of Israel and to their great prince, and they passed them back out to them. And Aaron's had rotted, or budded, and almonds had come out on it. And there, the Lord of heaven showed who that he had chosen before all the elders of Israel. They had also chided with Aaron and found fault with Aaron. The Lord said, keep this rod for a memorial for the children. But now the Lord told Moses to go in there and get the rod and go over to this rock. All right? Now the rod of Aaron, we still got that rod that brought those children out of the land of Egypt. Things are still happening to that rod. All right? Now then he has proven to them, he said, this will be a memorial from now on that they might know that I've chosen Aaron and not chosen them. So here then we see Aaron, rod that budded, and then they go up there and they bring forth the water. Now, it's about this time along in here that the Lord, I told him what to do concerning the waters of separation. And I hope you can get a hold of this tonight because there's a lot of revelation in the waters of separation. He told him to bring him a heifer, a red heifer. A red heifer, mind you, without spot. And bring that heifer to him and let the priest take her outside. And let a man slay this heifer and cut the heifer open and put the heifer on woods of fire and coals of fire, and then take cedar, scarlet, and hyssop and take and throw it over in the midst of the heifer and let it burn with the heifer, and then take the heifer after she's completely burned up and take the ashes to a clean place and to keep these ashes to use as a manner of separation. And this is mixed with water, and it's sprinkled and so forth with water, and it's called the waters of separation. And this they had to do. Now, this is a very important thing, for later you find them going out to battle, as we'll try to bring out in a few minutes, going out to battle with the Mennonites, or with the land of Midian, and over there in this land. Now, as they go to battle in this land over there, you'll find out that when they come back with what the Bible refers to as their booty, that is all that they brought back, which was, oh my, it was about, I don't know, 600,000 sheep and 32 women, and they were told to kill all the male children. Moses got angry with them when they come back from the battle over there. He sent out 12,000 of the children of Israel, 1,000 out of each tribe, and he got upset because they brought all the women back, and he told them to kill all of them that had lain with man and to kill all the male children and just keep alive the women children for themselves. And so there was about 32,000 of them left that they kept alive for themselves. And there was about six, I don't know how many, multiplied thousands of asses and different things that they brought back. It was a great spoil. But anyway, here we see right here that when they got to the camp, Moses met them and Aaron and told them that they would have to use the waters of separation to sanctify such things as iron, tin, and metal, of any kind, such as gold and silver and brass and anything that would pass through the fire. They had to purge it by fire, and anything that would not pass through the fire, they had to purge it by the waters of separation, such as skins and things that they might have brought back, wooden vessels and so forth, by the waters of separation. And they had to stay outside the camp about 7 days, and then they could be brought into the camp. All right, and this is the laws of the waters of separation. The man that took the heifer out, he was unclean till evening, had to wash his clothes and so forth and offer a Thomas, and then he was unclean till evening, and so was the priest after they went through this thing. Now, anybody that touched a dead body or got near anything unclean like that, they had to have the waters of separation sprinkled over them. This was God's law. Now, we know, most of us can readily see, that this has to do with the Holy Spirit that separates us from the world out yonder and from the sin of the world. We speak of sackcloth and ashes. When we speak of God's sacrifice, we take ashes and drop this little bit in, ashes mixed with water. We know that ashes come from off of the altars of God back there, and it signifies, how many of you know that I spoke of blood being fire? Blood is always accounted for as fire, so it shows the cross. God burns Jesus on the cross in the sense of the blood. Here as the sacrifice, and the ashes is always recognized when we say sackcloth and ashes in fasting. It's a consummation of the body by fasting, which shows it on the altars of God. And so then the ashes here indicates the consummation of the body at the cross there and so forth, which is mixed with the Spirit. The waters of separation are like they burn your body. You know, they take it and put it in a, I don't know, some of you brethren know what I'm talking about. They put it in a furnace or something, they burn it, call it cremation or something like that. I know a little woman one time, she was so foolish as to say that if they just take her body and burn it up, you know, and just sprinkle it out over the ocean, she felt like she'd be saved. I mean, from God, she felt like she'd be saved. He couldn't get her back together. But anyway, that's what I'm speaking of here, is the consummation of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, showing the waters of separation, which is the Spirit of God, the water of the washing of the Word and so forth, showing this great separation between clean and unclean, and between those that we deal with out yonder in the world. We have to come back, and we have to get on this great fountain of God to stay holy and stay clean, or else we can't come into the presence of God. All the natural showing the spiritual, Paul said, from the foundation of the world, the spiritual understood by the natural. All right. Now then, we can see here that this was a form of things that they went through with, and God was sanctifying them and moving them right on, and things was taking place. And here, as I said, they come into a certain place over here at Moab. They come into a certain place as Moab over here, and we'll get to it in just a little bit to kind of show you here some things that took place. But remember now, we were in the wilderness of Zin. And here they had pitched in the wilderness of Zin, and Miriam finally yielded up the ghost and died. Now she's passed on, and they moved from here over to Mount Hor. They call it, this is Mount Hor, and they call it Horma. So then here at Mount Hor, the Lord said to Moses, take Aaron up into Mount Hor, take him up there and strip him of the garment. Remember the trouble that's been caused now. Take him up there and strip him of the garment, and take Eleazar his son, and put the royal garments on Eleazar, and there your brother shall die in the Mount Hor. And so Moses did as the Lord told him. He took Aaron up into Mount Hor. He took the clothes from him and put them on Eleazar. And there Aaron, at 123, yielded up the ghost and went home to meet his maker. Here, right here in Mount Hor, and it was on the 40th year of the journey of the children of Israel. Look how wonderful God was. He let him stay right there with them 40 long years. All right, 40 years he stayed with them. There, and on the 40th year, our first day of the fifth month, he goes up into Mount Hor, and here he has to lay down his life for the Lord's sake. Now, the Lord said, Moses, take him up there, because I remember the rock I remember the rock over here at Meribah. And Moses, you nor Aaron will enter into Canaan land. He told them both. He said, Moses, because you did not sanctify me in the eyes of the people, thou nor Aaron shall enter into Canaan land. Now, but he said, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Kenani said he will enter into the land of Canaan. These two will enter into the land of Canaan. The other 12 that came back from the spying out the land, the Bible said God let every one of them die because he was displeased with them. And only Caleb and Joshua remained alive because they discouraged the hearts of the people. You know, I brought it out here the other night by saying the work's going to fold up. I don't think it's going to go any further. I don't believe God can do it. I think they've taken too much on them. I don't think they'll ever make it. And the Bible said God got angry and he just killed a whole bunch of them. And he didn't leave anybody else. All right, now, that's what happens. People spiritually die when they start murmuring and complaining. Now, here's what I want you to notice, folks. 40 years in the wilderness. Now, you say, Brother Pike, but you said last night that God wasn't going to take them people in, that when they rebelled against him over there at the last lesson we had, that he told them that they would not go into the land of Canaan because of what they did, because they said, let's make us captains and go back into Egypt. And it upset the Lord when they heard about the giants. They got afraid. And it upset the Lord, and they said, our little children will get killed if we take them in. And so the Lord said, no, said, you're the ones that's going to die in the wilderness, and the very little children that you said would get killed by the enemy is the ones that are going to raise up and let them defeat the enemy to show you I'm God. All right, so we find here 40 years has expired, and now they take account of the men here, and out of the men they've got 23,000, I believe it is, of the Levites, 600,000. 600,000 and 1,730 of the Israelites. And out of these, not one man remains alive. And he said everything from 20 years old down will be spared. Everything from 20 years old up will die in the wilderness. And here, when they finally get here at Canaan, the Bible states that not one man is left among them of those that was numbered over there in the wilderness of Sinai. I think we numbered back there, it was over 600, about 600,000, maybe 3,750 men or something back there in the wilderness of Sinai. He said not one of them remained alive. Now, they've already got over here to the wilderness of Zin, which is the borders of Edom. Now, you remember here how that we told you to be sure to watch when we're teaching back yonder about Jacob and Esau. Do you remember who was the father of the Edomites? I told you to watch for it, see who it was. All right. Esau was the father of the Edomites, and here at the borders of Edom. Now, here are the children of Edom. The Bible says when they come over here to the wilderness of Sin, they know it's a land of milk and honey. Moses sends out his messenger, and he tells them here at the wilderness of Zin, just before Aaron dies over here at the next place where they stopped. He told him, he said, we would love to pass through your borders. We won't go into the fields. We won't mess with the vineyards. We won't drink from your wells. Said, we'll just go by the king's highway if you'll just let us go through that. Edom sent word back, said, if you come through my borders, I'll come out against you with the sword. Well, they pleaded their cause. They said, please, let us go through. Said, we'll do. Right. See, God was seeking a fault against them here. And while I say please, they didn't use that terminology, but they pleaded with him to let him come through. He said, just as sure as you come through, I'll come out against you with the sword. So the Bible said that God turned him aside over to Mount Hor over here. And this, of course, is where Aaron died. Now, so we see when we get to Mount Hor, then King Arad, which is in the south land of Canaan over there, the king over there, here he's with the Canaanites. And Moses again sends out his messengers asking permission to come through the land, and the man sweeps down on him with his armies and with sword. And the Bible said that the children of Israel swear unto God, said, Lord, if you'll deliver these Canaanites into our hands, we'll serve you, we'll tear down their cities, their altars, and everything that you want us to tear down. Now the Lord said, do away with their high places, do away with their pictures, and do away with all their brazen images and so forth, their molten images. All right, now we see that when they come to Mount Hor, then Herod, he comes out there against them, and God begins to slaughter the people of the Canaanites, just sweep over them with a great, in a great sweeping with a great army. And here he slaughters those people and takes the land of the Canaanites. All right, now then, as he takes the lands of the Canaanites, he moves on. Now we're moving on from, Mount Hor. We're moving on now. Remember, 40 years has expired, and now they're fixing to conquer their enemy. So they whip the Canaanites here, and they start moving in. They start, instead of being on the defensive, they become aggressive, and they start moving in as a mighty army. And as they move in, they begin to kill the Canaanites. All right, they take the land of the Canaanites here. They kill them. All right, they move on in as they kill them. Now notice what they do. They move on in, and then the next record of the Bible is here at Hoboth is where they stop. Of course, now they stopped in these places, but the Bible gives it as Hoboth here. But we've got it all outlined, so you'll have all of it. All right, now Hoboth here, they come over to Hoboth, and then they camp here. All right, now Hoboth here, they move from Hoboth, and then they move down here to Jabarim. They come down to Jabarim here. This is the borders of Moab. It's on the eastern part. It's the wilderness over on the eastern part toward the sunrise. Now, they're in the wilderness of Moab, and then they come on down here to Dibonah. And then when they get down here to this place, well, they stay a while, and then they move on over to this other place, and then coming on down to, what's this next place we got down here? All right, we come on down to Abiram, the mountains of Abiram, is it? All right, we come on down to the mountains of Abiram here. Yeah, Mount Nebo. All right, now, I want you to notice this. Now, this is the place right here where the Lord told Moses. Now, we won't lose Moses in this lesson, but we'll lose him in the next lesson. But here at Mount Abiram, the Lord said, Moses, now, you'll go up into Mount Abiram, and there you'll also yield up the ghost and so forth. So then Moses said, all right, said, if I do this, Lord, said, what are the people going to do about a leader? And he said, take Joshua and anoint Joshua, bring him down there before Eleazar, which is the son of Aaron. And Eleazar now is in Aaron's stead, and here Moses is getting ready to go out. And we see Joshua coming in here instead of Moses. He said, go down there and place some of your honor upon him in the presence of the people that they might know that he's on him and so forth. And go down there before the Urim and Thummim and let him inquire at the hand of the Urim and Thummim, which was the breastplate of Aaron or the breastplate of Eleazar now since he's high priest. All right, now they go down there and he anoints everything and he sets Joshua in here in order. He doesn't die just yet. The Lord doesn't take him off the scene. But here he's getting Joshua all set up for leadership. All right. Now then you'll notice that they moved on down from one place to another, coming on down to Oboth and coming right on down to Onan. Onan. Now, Onan here, we're coming on down here to Onan. I don't know where it's listed in there or not, but anyway, they come on down to Onan. And then Onan is the border between Moab and the Amorites. They come on down to Onan. Now they come over there to Jabarim here, and Oboth, and then Jabarim, and then they come on down to Zered. I don't think I got Zered in there either. But anyway, they come on down to Zered. And then when they get down there to Zered, they move on down to Onan. And then they get down there to Onan. They are right there. This is a creek or that is streams. It runs down to a place called Or and runs over the borders there or over some of the land of the Moabites. And here it's a border between the Amorites and between Moab. Now, when they get down to this place, they come to a place called Beer. And Beer is a whale. down here at a well that they dug with their staves and so forth, and they sang a little song about how the lawgiver told them to dig it, and how that the princes of their tribes dug it with their staves and so forth. The Lord told Moses to give them that. Then they got water. And then they went from there to Matthaim. Matthaim is another place. As they move on down, here with Matthaim, they move on down to Nahaviel, moving on down to a place called Bema, just moving steadily now, on down to a place called Bema. And then they rise up on the Mount Pisgah. And this, the Bible said Mount Pisgah is off against Jeshanan. It's off just the ways you can see Jeshanan from it. They come down through Nabal, and then they come over to Bamoth, and then they go up into Mount Pisgah. And here, the Bible said, now from here, they send out again. They're trying to come through the land again. And then they come in contact with the king Sihon, which is the king of the Amorites. He dwells over here in a place called Heshbon. He took Heshbon away from the Moabites, according to the Bible. He took it away from the Moabites and drove them back in there, and now he's got it over here in Heshbon, and they also sang a song concerning this. All right, now then, here at up in Mount Pisgah. All right, now he sends out, well, instead of Sihon receiving him and allowing him to come through, he does just like the rest of them. The Lord hardens his heart so he can destroy him, because the prophecy was that he would destroy them. And so he hardens his heart. Folks, look, listen to me tonight, if you will. Don't harden your heart against the Lord. The Bible said that these things happen for your example. Paul, our teacher, tells us, said it happened that ye harden not your hearts as they did in the days of the provocation in the wilderness when God destroyed them. Now, when your heart gets hard and you resent and come against things, I love you. I'm trying to help you. But when you do these things, you grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible said not to even grieve the minister. And oh, how grieved I get sometimes. It said, don't even grieve the minister. It said, this is not profitable for you. It said, because he set there for a blessing unto you and to fear the minister. That's what the Bible says. Not because he's a man, but because he is a preacher of the gospel. And said that he is set there to execute wrath upon them that do evil. He's God's revenger. And if to fear him, because he's set there for your good if you do fear him. All right, but now notice this. See, they harden their heart. When you harden your heart, it means God's hardening your heart, folks. It's God doing it. He's finding fault with you somewhere. Oh, you say, well, I just don't like the... No, that's not it at all. When you resent something and you come against somebody, it's not you. It's not you. I say that to the youth, too. I say that to the ladies. It's not you. It's God. He's found fault. You're not living the way he wants you to live, and he's upset at you, and he's hardening your heart against the minister so that he can find fault with you and destroy you. See, it's God doing it. All right? Now, so be of a humble spirit. Fight that thing off. That's the devil trying to get your soul. Now, you say, well, it don't matter if I have a little rough place to go, but that's not all it is. See, you're not messing with just something that's going to happen out here, but you're messing with eternity. You'll lose your very soul. You'll die and go to hell. There'll never be a chance to get out of the burning pits of hell. You go down that quick if you die. See, you're dealing with eternity, not with just getting like you get in jail and you get out, or you get you in the electric chair and die out. You can't get out of this. All right, now watch, folks. Now, here we come, and we're over here at Mount Pisgah. All right, the king of Sihon, he won't let him come through. So the king of Sihon, he sends his armies out to Jahaz. And he over here, he engages in battle with him at Jahaz. And when he does, the Bible said that all the way from on and over to Jabbok, that they sweep in there on the Amorites, and they kill them out all the way over to the land of the people of Ammon. And Ammon's got a strong defense. They stop here at Ammon because it's got a strong defense. They don't go any farther. All right, but now, the Bible said when they get in there, they just take this land. Now, they're really moving on now. They're really doing something now. You hear that song, moving on, they're moving on now. They're doing something now. They're not running anymore. They done got the message, and they done got indoctrinated, and you can't turn them around anymore. They know that God's with them. Now, see, for a while, the wrath of God was abiding on them. But God's killed out all the mumbles and grumblers now, all the elders that fought against him, and now this is their children. He's taking their children, 600,000 of them. He's still got 600,000 here after killing out all their forefathers. All right, now, here we see that they're moving on, and the Bible said they kill out all the inhabitants there, and then the Bible said that Moses turns them up to Jaazah. And up here to the land of Jaazah, they begin to move in to what we call Bashan. Bashan, the king of Og, is there. And they move into the land of Bashan on their pilgrimage and on their journey. They're coming into the land of Bashan. They said Moses sent them up there in what he calls Jaazah. And when they get up there, they begin to look through the land here and become aggressive and move into the king Og's dominion up here, which is called Bashan. And it's called the Battle of Edorah. Edorah. And here they engage in the Battle of Edorah. And they have a battle here and they win the battle. They overthrow King Og and take Bashan. Now then, when they get up there,